The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Rated E for everyone, 10 and up.
Hey, this is Austin.
This is Corbin.
This is Trip, and you're listening to Nobody's Listening.
No, it's Broken.
No, son, it's called That Story Show now.
Wait, what?
I thought it was Broken.
No, they changed it, and then they went away, and then they came back.
James, just roll the intro. Hey! This is That Story Show, people.
Hey, who's cooking pizza?
I turned into a bat. I flew into this lady's house. I left her some guano.
Hey, how you doing out there, podcast people? This is That Story Show, where we're telling hilarious, funny life stories and inviting you to do the same. This is episode 281. I'm your host. My name is James Kennison, and my good friend is here.
Hey, that's me, and I have 2 feet.
Sweet! And my bro host is here.
Hey, guys, I'm David, and I love the smell of fresh-cut walnut.
Oh, that does sound good.
Yeah, that's. I want to smell it now.
Thank you.
Come on, guy. Well, this is the story show, That Story Show, where we tell funny life stories and such, and today has kind of a theme. And that theme is loosely things being where they're not supposed to be.
So, sort of like, a playground in the middle of a construction site.
Sort of kind of like that. That would be it. We always start with an opening story, and this is no different. This one's called Shark Flavored Snow Cone. Comes to us from Mom of Boys. My dad and I took 5 kids age 6 and under to an event called Marine Quest. See, that's enough story right there for me.
Done.
Yeah.
What's it to sea parks?
It was created by the University of South Florida, St. Pete, to educate the community about everything marine science-y. So it had gotten huge, and it's gotten huge and has touch tanks stocked with local stuff that they found in the bay and would release back at the end of the event. I feel so dirty. You know, crafts. It had manatee rescue demos, and ma'am, you, yes, the large one.
Oh my gosh!
Can we
so not whale well rescue?
Can so we use? You, can you come up to the stage? Okay, I'll balance it out. James Kennison, can you come to the stage? Need a manatee-sized human. All right, I'm allowed to make fun of fat people. I are one.
Okay.
Manatee rescue demos. I'd like to see that. That's the name of the show right there.
Manatee rescue demo.
They had boats on dry land that you could climb in and sea turtle safe net tunnels kids could crawl through. On a tent, they had a shark. Oh, one tent, not on tent. One tent had a shark identification sign on it. And we walked up and we realized that there were all these little dead sharks and rays about 1 to 3 foot long. And the kids got to touch them and ask questions about the species and the body parts. Apparently, these jokers were on ice. And they had passed naturally and were being preserved for this purpose. So
they gave them shark ice cubes.
So, yeah. Yeah. Mm. So the kids got to touch them and ask questions about the species and the body parts and all that. Well, as our three oldest were standing at the table, my three-year-old nephew turned around and gestured at his mouth. I was confused for a second and realized he had popped one of the pieces of ice in his mouth.
That's nasty.
I quickly had him spit it out. It was super gross because that ice, it was used to keep the sharks from rotting. They'd been stored. They'd been stored in the cold and probably some sort of embalming fluid, you know, like the cats in the jars and stuff like that. Yeah, these sharks have been dead and safe for years, according to the biologist chatting with us.
Okay,
so there you go.
Mom, why would they let them touch them? Nasty dead.
Yeah, because
sharks.
Do you know what fish do in water?
No, Jay. No, no, David. I don't. What do they
do? Everything. Everything.
No way.
Everything. Pooping, peeing, everything they do, it's in water. I don't know if you know that, but it's going to be the best story ever.
Thanks, man. Let's rewind the week. All right, David, since you are so spunky, why don't you go first?
Yeah,
I'm spunky because I have a good signal.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And we're back, y'all.
You sound good.
Thank you. So I had to bring my car to the dealership to get the oil service done, and I was there super, super early, like super early, 7 o'clock. And it was Saturday morning. I love getting up early. I just love it. Love it the best.
That's and not so true.
I do.
Do you really?
And so
yeah, on your day
I love it. 5 o'clock, 5:30, I love getting up before the sun gets up.
Oh,
it's amazing. And I love going to bed early because I'm an old man. Wow. So I woke up at 5:20 to be there by 7, wake up, take a shower, get a cup of coffee, that kind of stuff. And so I'm there. And then I didn't have a lot of time to do my other morning rituals. And so like that goes.
You didn't get up early enough, huh?
Yeah, I didn't. No. I need a good 15 minute. So I didn't wake up early enough for that. So I rushed out of the house and I'm steaming the whole way 20, 25 minute drive to the dealership.
What does that mean?
I am.
I'm just kidding. I got it.
The pressure pot gauge is reading high. Does that help you any?
You're whistling.
So, you know, the whole time I got time. You know, I got time.
Yeah.
So I get to the dealership. I thankfully got in there pretty fast. The girl took my car, brought it back in the shop. I was like, where's your bathrooms at? You know, like no rush.
Yeah,
nothing implied in my tone. Like I'm about to commit a terrorist attack if you don't show me where the bathroom is right now. A chemical warfare. So I went to the bathroom and I carry a knife in my back pocket.
Okay.
And so when I went to go drop trowel, it hit the seat of the toilet and my knife flew out.
Oh.
And it flew into the toilet.
Great.
Oh. And a public nonetheless.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. So I instinctively just reached in and grabbed it, like didn't even think about what I was doing. But once I pulled it out in my hand and it started dripping, I realized what I did. I'm like, I did the thing that is going to start the zombie apocalypse, you know? That's what I just did.
This is ground zero right here.
Yeah, this is it. I'm patient zero. Yeah, exactly. So I didn't think anything of it when I did it, but when I pulled it out and it started dripping and then thankfully, I was the first one to consummate the marriage of body to toilet seat on that day because everything smelled like pure bleach and it was amazing.
Awesome.
But I did.
That's what I would say on the show, too.
Say what?
No, I would say that everything smelled like bleach as well.
Oh.
That's exactly how I would
say it. Because that's not how I thought this story was going.
No.
But I'm very relieved.
Thankfully I didn't have any problems with, but you know, just think about it. I was there pressured up and then this happened. It was more so as a joke to make my lower bowel hurt a little bit more to have to pull the knife out of the toilet, rinse it off, lick my fingers dry,
and then go.
Yeah. Well, the good thing is that I didn't even have to dry. Like usually, you know, in winter time, your hands get really dry and the paper slips on it. Right. So I didn't even have to like putting a lotion on my hands to get that extra friction. I just let it air dry my right hand.
Oh.
It was amazing. It was amazing. So thanks, there you go. There's my Thank stupid you. Weekly.
Thanks everybody for coming to the show. That is our last episode.
That was it.
As soon as he started talking about friction with toilet paper, that's when we changed it. Hey, speaking of which, I saw a video, an interesting video, and it talked about types of humor. And did you guys know there were different types of humor?
There's a dry humor.
Yeah, dry humor. There's a dark humor. There's crazy humor. I can't remember the name. Surreal humor, where things are just so wacky and zany that they're funny.
Okay.
And then there's the lowest form, the pun. And then there's one just above that. And it's called juvenile humor. If you were in the example they used was a scene from Wreck-It Ralph, where he first meets Vanellope for the first time, and he's talking about going into that Call of Duty game, clone, and she says duty, and starts making all these jokes about duty and all this stuff, and I'm like, that's my whole show.
That's my whole life.
We are juvenile humorists. And that's why people either love us or hate us. If you read our reviews, man, most people, 5 stars, love this podcast, blah, 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 blah. But every now and then there's somebody that's like, I see all these positive reviews and I just don't get it. I think they sound like a bunch of 15-year-olds. And I'm like, that's because you're too good for us. That's why.
That must be the story.
You should just move on down the line.
Choose someone else.
Yep.
Yeah, choose someone else.
Go find some intelligent humor on NPR that's just so highbrow that nobody laughs at it.
So my question is this. Is humor supposed to, because I don't see it as a bottom of the tier juvenile humor. I think that's actually the top. Does humor decline and then it becomes surreal and then it declines a little bit?
No, I think you're right. I think it's falls in the beauty in the eye of the beholder.
It's
all category. I said it was low, but I just assume that since they put that first, and since it's my show and I don't have a high opinion of myself, I just put myself on the low end. But I appreciate that. I appreciate the idea that maybe I don't need to do that, and it's okay to talk about the abrasiveness of our hands on toilet paper as we're wiping, and that's okay. Yes. That's juvenile humor. Call of Duty is funny.
It is every single time.
So
every single time, all 28 minutes of driving.
Duty.
Did you wash your hands after you played Call of Duty?
No. Because I knew I was going to read a book later, so I needed that moistness.
And you didn't want to lick your fingers, especially after
that. Exactly. Okay. Disgusting. All righty then, John. I think it's your turn.
Okay. Well, I got some more juvenile humor for you.
All right.
Oh, goody old golly.
Yeah. So let me kind of set up this a little bit. And this happened in the office. I work in an office type environment, and I work down a long hall. And then, my office is in the back, and then, there's the front entrance of our church office area, towards the front. So I often will walk down the hall and make noises. Like I'll make hand toots with my hands. Can you hear that?
Oh yeah, that's cool. I've always been jealous of people that can do that.
Oh really? Well, hey, I got a talent that you don't have. Hey, listen. Sometimes I'll do that. Sometimes I'll just make noises with my mouth, and I just don't even think about it. Well, in our front office, and everybody that works here, they know that I do that, and it's not any surprise to them. At least I hope
it's not. Could you give me an example of some of the noises that you make with your mouth?
Yes, please.
Yeah. And
and what? Okay.
That kind of stuff.
Yeah. People love your voices, so I was notified of that yet again this week.
Oh,
so well. Annoying how much everybody loves John the most.
I know. What's up with that?
They don't. Vote I don't see off. Those things.
Vote him off.
He's a jerk.
So you make noises at work.
Yeah, so I do that while I'm walking down the hall. Now, after a certain point in the day, our front office lady, she leaves.
She and gets tired of it, and she pulls out a shotgun.
She does, right.
Boom!
I think of it more as a warning signal that I'm about to enter the room, because not everybody, you know, wants to converse with me. So, you know, they hear me come and then they leave.
You hear all this shuffling and there's papers flying, but nobody's in the room.
He's coming. He's coming.
Yeah. Yeah. That way I'm not offended if, you know, they're like, oh, I've got a dentist appointment. That's the third one today. So that way, you know, it's good for everybody. Well, at a certain point she leaves with that's part of her job. And then another person comes in because the after school, they pick up their kids there. And so, you know, throughout, you know, the period of 3 o'clock to whenever, there's a bunch of different parents who will come through. And I don't know the parents, you know, not all the time. I mean, sometimes I've seen them enough, but anyhow, I was walking through the hall and I made that, I just went, and, I wasn't even meaning to go to the end of the hall. I meant to stop off at the kitchen, and I just walked up towards the front, and then I made that noise. And as I round the corner, there's a parent there.
Here we go.
And we make eye contact.
Awkward.
And I'm like, I get this brief second of like, I need to do something. I need to explain that was my mouth. And instead, all I did was smile.
Oh, yeah. You farted in front of the
stepped
parent.
Into the,
I stepped in
into
it.
The copy. No, I did. I stepped into the copy room. I'm thinking, I can't leave it like that. I gotta explain myself.
Okay, ma'am. You know,
this was not intentional. I wasn't, you know, and I know she might have thought I really did that, and it would be terrible if she thought I did that when I really didn't. And I don't know who she is. And so I'm standing there in the copy room, which is right behind the desk of the front person. I can no longer see the lady. And I'm such an idiot. I just said, that was my mouth.
Oh, my gosh. Which just made it worse noises. By even explaining.
It did. It did.
Yeah.
See, and if it was me in this story, that's when she would say, I've already called the police. So.
Yeah. So have been the random off chance that listener, the lady becomes a listener. That was my mouth, and I'm sorry I did that, and I hope I never see you again.
Oh, man.
Hopefully your kid doesn't come here.
I keep digging holes, and my wife has pointed out the fact that I just need to shut up sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
Just stop talking.
Yep, like right now.
Yeah, I'm done.
Just stop.
Now would be a good time.
Now, just stop. Okay.
David seems driven to get you off the show now all of a sudden.
No!
That's the second thing he said. He said,
let's
vote him off. Let's vote him off and shut
just
up.
Just do it. Vote right now.
Do it. Okay, do it.
Then. I want to keep him.
Oh, I'm out. I hate democracy. Dictatorship.
Oh, man. Okay, so mine's called I Punched a Girl.
Oh my god, you even titled it?
I punched a girl and I liked it.
Oh man, it's nothing like that. That's why I titled it. But no, there's a couple of kids that I take to youth group, my kids youth group on Wednesday nights,
and punched a youth group girl,
and I picked them up in the car, and I'll just start asking them questions. And this time I said, okay, what's the worst thing that happened since the last time I saw you at school? You know, because I usually am like, hey, how's your day? You know, everything's great. What's the worst thing that's happened? Well, there's this little girl in the back. Her name is Jemiah. And
Lucy.
She is very cute. And she is a sixth grader. And she's the one that when she comes to church, she just hugs. She goes around and gives everybody a hug every time. Unless she's nice messing kid. With you. Like she'll hug Jen and look at me and walk past me, you know, and hug Jenna, you know, that kind of stuff. So other than that, though, she's the sweetest thing in the world. So I'm like, hey, what's the worst thing that you guys have done this week since the last time I saw you? And she's like, I punched a girl in the face. Oh, I'm like, no, I don't believe it. I did. She slapped me in the back of my head. Oh my God. What is going on? I don't believe this. And her sister's sitting next to me in the front seat, and she's like, no, she's bad. She's bad. I'm like, I don't believe this at all. This is the sweetest thing in the planet. And she's punching a girl in the face. Well, she hit me in the back of my head. I'm like, What happened? What's the story? Well, she was messing with somebody, and I told her to stop messing with her, and I said I was going to go tell, and so I turned around, and she hit me in the back of my head, and so I punched her in the face, and
oh my gosh,
man. So anyway, it was just funny that's what I got out of
it. Well, yeah, because she's the saint, and then all of a sudden now she's the one that.
I know.
The girl's in the face.
The girl, her sister is the one. If you were to look at the both of them. There's just one of them. She's got sleeker looks. She looks like she is a spy, and her eyes are even slitted just a little bit more. She looks like the one that would just haul off and beat the crap out of some lady. But this, and then there's the pigtails and the little hair brettes and the cute little pink shirt that says Girl Squad on it, you know, and all that. And she's like, yeah, I punched a girl in the face. What?
In the face.
I also hugged somebody, but that doesn't count now.
Yeah, I hugged her.
You. Punch you in the face.
Punch you in the face. So what? So what's the worst thing you've done this week? I bet you didn't punch a girl in the face. But she did. She sure enough did.
I made a fart noise in the hall. It was my mouth, though.
Yeah. Yeah, I gathered that.
It's the highlight of his week.
Yeah.
He got called finally. He got called out. You shame. Well, shame on you.
I'll say what I said for David. That's what I would say too, that it was my mouth. That's how I would tell the story.
That makes it worse.
Yeah. He's now worse. You're really trying to cover it up.
No, I can't. It was my mouth. I swear.
I bet you she came around the corner and like gave it a couple sniffs, like just to make sure.
I stayed in the copy room until she left.
Oh my gosh. You secreted yourself away, John.
I pretended like I was making copies.
Let's read some listener stories and see what this theme's all about. All right, so as we remember from our first story, we had something that was where it didn't belong, and that was ice, like shark ice in a three-year-old's mouth. David even fit with the theme. He had a knife in a place it didn't belong.
The toilet.
John had a fart in a place it didn't belong, in his mouth.
Yes.
And I had a violent streak in a place it didn't belong.
Okay.
See, I can just make this work for everything. So
yeah, you're awesome, dude.
All right. Well, John, why don't you read us a story called Remote Out of Control?
Remote Out of Control comes to us from Courtney from North Dakota. So last week we lost the TV remote. My husband and I turned the house upside down looking for it, which is what you do whenever you lose a TV remote.
I bet you didn't.
It's time to turn the house upside down. Get the crane. Yeah.
Shake it a little bit and see what kind of, you get to find all the change from your couches.
We're walking on the ceiling now because we turned the house upside down.
We haven't found it yet.
No. Well, she looked in every place a remote control could possibly hide, including all the bathrooms. And the freezer.
You have to do that,
you know,
because I always tell my kids, you're always looking in the places it ought to be. If it was there, it wouldn't be lost. You have to look in places where it would never be.
Yeah, yes. Like the freezer.
Yeah, exactly.
I found my PlayStation 4 remote in the pantry once.
I believe it.
Done it.
Yeah, so yeah, you know, this is wise. Look in the freezer. Well, after 2 days of searching, I sat down to eat away my sorrows with chips. As I was mindlessly munching, my hand encountered something smooth and oblong in the bag.
No way.
And there, nestled amongst the Tostitos, was the lost remote.
That's so weird. What the heck?
Yes. Didn't know whether to laugh or to cry. My husband definitely laughed. Bright side to all this, as I told my husband, is that now, whenever we can't find the remote, we can always check the snacks. Courtney from North Dakota.
That's a good one. I have... something like that, if you don't mind me sharing.
Go for it.
Quick. So I was working down in my two-car garage wood shop, and I had to get in the truck and move something, and so I had to use the clicker for the garage door, and then I put the clicker back in the truck, and you know, my shop clothes are just shop clothes. They're dirty, so I wash them. And then I put them in the wash, and they're on a spin cycle, and the garage door starts going up and down.
No way.
And Lydia's like, where'd you put the clicker? I was like, the clicker's in the truck. I just looked. It's in the truck. And this is the ongoing thing with me and my wife is, did you look or did you look? You know?
Yeah.
And I was like, no, it's in the truck. And so I got my gun and I started clearing the house. I'm like, there's something in the house, you know? And then the garage door would stop. I'm like, oh, okay. I scared the demon away, you know? And then all of a sudden we're talking like, there it goes again. And you can feel the whole house vibrate. I'm like, what are you talking about? She's like, go down there and check in the washer. And sure enough, it wasn't in the truck, David. It was in the washer.
There you go.
Wow.
On the spin cycle.
And it still
and it wasn't a demon.
That's so, insane.
I lost like 15 points with my wife because she's like, did you look? I'm like, yeah, I look.
Yeah.
You went back down to level zero, didn't you?
Yeah, I'm in probably in the negative numbers now, but yeah, I understand, man. You lose something like that or something misplaced, it messes up your life, especially when you need to watch TV and eat chips at the same time.
Yes.
Yeah.
I just want to know who was so hungry when they had the remote. They're just like, I don't even have time to drop this. I'm going to dive right in. I'm going to hold on to the remote with two fingers, use my pincher fingers like a crab and grab some Tostitos. And then
it totally wouldn't surprise me if there's teeth marks on the remote because they mistakenly chewed on the remote.
But somehow or another, at some point, the Tostitos came up and the remote stayed down and no one noticed.
Because of the weight.
Interesting. They thought that bag was really full.
So I would have somebody checked out. I don't know who did it. I'm going to say the husband as well, because that sounds like a man thing. I can say that. I can say that,
guys. That's why he laughs so hard.
I can say that because I'm a man, okay?
Yeah.
So don't get offended like you did about the manatee joke, all right?
What kind of humor would you call that story? Would that be surreal humor? Something where it's not supposed to be?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I think so. So, David, I've got one just for you called Bambi on Ice. And you'll enjoy it. My daughter, this is from Mike Dave Lar from Brandon, South Dakota. He says, my daughter suggested your podcast and I love it. She also suggested this story after John's deer story disaster. See, I've been bombarded with all of these death stories since John shared a few years
ago. What kind of humor is that?
Sorry, it was just a few weeks ago. I think it's called not humor.
dark humor,
I guess.
I just don't get it.
Daughter and I were coming home in the middle of the night between Christmas and New Year's Day. It was cold and icy. As we crested the hill into our development, the headlights of my new truck flashed on a deer in the middle of the road. The road was a sheet of ice. There was no way I was going to stop. The deer sees us and starts to run away, only its legs are flying. It's going nowhere. I hit the brakes hard, but due to the ice, we're going to hit it. As we get close to the deer, both of us brace for the wreck that is going to be, but no crash, just a gentle nudge. That deer goes flying down the road, sitting on its behind with its front legs standing it up, sliding like a hockey puck. It slides to the side of the road, hits the 12-inch berm of snow, and flies head over heels off into the dark. Gone.
Oh.
Daughter and I are totally amazed. Turns out it flew 30 feet through the air and hit a tree. So while I didn't kill it, I was the reason it died.
Oh my God.
30 feet.
Love the show, guys. Mike Davlar from Brandon, South Dakota. There's a little dark humor and something where it shouldn't have been in the middle of the road.
Exactly. Poor fella.
Any of you guys ever hit a deer? I've come close.
Yeah.
But I've never hit one.
I got hit by one, and I did hit one.
Oh, John, I forgot, man. You have, like, the story of all stories. John almost died, right?
Yes, remember you told us, like...
Wait, what?
Was that a deer?
The Volvo, right?
No, I wasn't. Oh. That was an Impala.
Okay.
Oh.
It was not an animal. It was a car.
All right, I thought I was bringing back memories. I was feeling bad.
It's like
John's in
seizure. I did get hit by a deer once, though, and I screamed like a girl. I didn't know what... I was early in the morning. I was driving down the road. I was going to my job, and all of a sudden, something hits me, and I went...
Yeah, it's like a cry out for help, but a whine at the same time.
No, it was me. I made that noise.
No, yeah, I'm saying, yeah, you're crying out for help. James, vote him off.
David, I will put a vote down. I will take that as an official complaint and write that up.
Yes, okay. Yes.
It was scary, though. It was my mouth, though. I made that noise with my mouth.
With my mouth. I have to explain God about it. Yeah. I made that with my mouth.
Deer didn't die, nor was it hurt, but it scared me so bad. Because it was out of nowhere, and I was like, what happened?
See, my kids, I have to ask you something, because whenever I get close to almost dying, I am not a person that swears, okay? I never swear. I mean, on purpose as a joke to a close family member, once in a while I'll let one fly just for fun. You know what I'm saying? When it's the only thing that we'll do. But it's
for
like
the shock value.
Yeah,
right?
For the shock value. For like twice a year we're talking about here. But I'm even the guy that when something bad is happening, I don't even accidentally swear. I say dadgummit or shundai. Or this is the one I sometimes use the name of Christ, his actual name, Jesus. And when I say it, honest to God, my intention of my heart is a prayer. Like I'm calling out to the man. I want your help. We are about to die. And so I will say, Jesus.
But
there's an argument in my family with my children that I'm taking the Lord's name in vain, and I think that's about the only time you're not taking his name in vain other than prayer.
Yeah. I'm with you on that.
I'm gonna ask John's opinion on this, because John's, you know, he's on the straight and narrow. Me and David, not so much.
No, not at all.
What do you think, man? Do I need to repent and turn from my wicked ways, or is that appropriate?
I think it's appropriate, totally.
Okay.
Because God knows your heart, and he's the one that's going to decipher whether or not you're calling out the name of his son in prayer or in blasphemy. So I think if you're calling out on the name of Jesus, it's a powerful name. So yeah.
It never helps.
I'm screwed.
I just want to say,
You did hit the deer or the truck or whatever.
Yeah, I always end up dying. And
maybe God knows the intention of your heart and he's let it.
No, I usually get out of it. Yeah, no, it's just like when I'm going down the steps and I actually call them sleps right now, because they're not doing their job as steps. They're slippery steps. So they're sleps.
Oh, no.
And I went down the stairs out the back a few weeks ago. And as I'm grabbing and muscles are tearing and bombs are going off in my soul, I said that word and I meant it as a prayer, like, be here with me, Jesus. Like in those old paintings, you know, where there's two kids and they're walking through a dangerous area and he's got a lamp and he's guiding them. I wanted him to kind of slide in underneath me and buffer my fall.
And Jesus take the wheel.
And
he
didn't do any of that.
Jesus take my heel.
Take,
I don't want to bust my Keely.
Take my tailbone, please. But anyway.
Pushing it a little bit.
I just think that it's probably, I feel guilty. I feel like I need to change that. But well,
if that's the case, then you probably
should. Oh, yeah, because whatever's not a faith is a sin. Oh, no.
Well, I'm just gonna let both of y'all know that
go Dave.
That I'm the reason why Jesus was on the cross. Okay?
So, oh man,
so am I.
I'm gonna tell you right there. I like David, you know, he was yelling at me the whole time, bro. Yeah. I don't know.
This is all from you, man.
You're the reason why you put
the first 10 minutes was everybody else. The rest of this is you. Oh, man. Awesome.
We're going to get in a theological debate.
I know. Yeah. We went from juvenile humor to biblical humor. It's great.
Yeah, we did.
It's something.
Theological humor.
It fits with the theme. Because it's in there and it doesn't belong there. So it worked out. I still count it as working out.
Well, James, when you're the dictator, you can make anything work out. Wow. Vote him off, James. Vote him off.
Stop. Don't do it, James. Don't do it.
Do what's right. No. You did not take the Lord's name in vain.
No, I didn't. John, you're out of here. Wait. Why does me deciding that that's not in vain mean that John has to go? David, you're the one.
I'm evil. I told you I'm the reason why I was up there.
Okay, I'm centered. I'm back. Hello, listener.
That was awesome. Good job.
We have a voicemail from Austin, and it's called He Never Knew. Here we go.
Hey, That Story Show. It's Austin from Noobs in the Whovian listening to your last episode, Redneck Girl, about bathroom mishaps and whatnot. And it reminded me of our recent cross-country adventure over the holidays. We stopped at about 1,800 truck stops along the way there and back. And one particular time, we were so tired. We were just worn out. And thankfully, my boys and I didn't misinterpret anything. We did not mess up any M's for W's or anything like that, James. But we were waiting, perusing all of the fine goods there at the truck stop while we were waiting on Mom. And this guy comes walking by me. You can always spot the truckers at the truck stops because they're wearing the like full-on padded headphone headset the microphone with the ball mic at the end, like they're at a call center or something.
Yes. I just got to pause for a second and say, this is a long one, but it is so freaking worth it. It is one of my favorite voicemails of all time. Here we go.
That connects to their phone, I guess. And he was walking by, and he was just smiling, having a good old time, having a full-on conversation. Walks past me, goes on down the hall, walks into the bathroom, and I'm thinking, and just never stopped talking. I'm thinking, this guy is having a full-on conversation and just doesn't even care that he's just going in to do his business. And then a couple minutes later, he comes back out. We're still standing there looking at pocket knives and beef jerky and whatnot. And he passes by, and he's still talking. And it's obvious he's still talking to the same person. He's still got the same smile on his face and everything. And I thought, this guy just went on in there, full-on conversation while he did his business, and no problem, right? And I thought, that's odd. Not really worth calling that story show. Then my wife comes out, and she goes, this dude just came into the ladies' room having a full conversation on his cell phone. Never stopped talking. Never noticed he was in the ladies' room. Apparently, he came in talking away, smiling away. Didn't see anybody because I guess she's still in the stall and there was nobody there washing their hands or anything. He goes into a stall, does his business, keeps on talking, washes his hand, full conversation happening, throws away his little paper towel, walks on out the door, none the wiser. Walked right by me. I didn't know where he, which one he had been in. I wasn't paying attention. I was looking at sat navs and DVDs and things. And so he goes breezing by me, and she comes out with this look on her face. He never knew. He just not only made the mistake, not only missed the sign on the door, missed the complete lack of urinals, missed the, sparkly shoes in the stall.
He still doesn't know.
Nothing. No clues. Nothing. Went, got done. Nobody got arrested. Everything was fine.
Because it wasn't me. Because I would get arrested.
Yes.
Oh, gosh. Can you imagine? He still doesn't know. He has no clue. And he will never know. He'll never know.
Never. Never.
Nope.
Never. There is this in Fort Lauderdale, at the Fort Lauderdale airport, there is this bathroom that every time me and my wife fly out of that airport, we always sit in front of this bathroom. And if you go into the hallway, to the left is the woman's, to the right's the men's.
Right.
So that's the way it looks. But they're both, there's an entrance and an exit to a woman's bathroom.
Oh, yes.
So we sit there and we watch people. And usually the men walking on the right, because we're so used to going right. Which I've noticed that. So keep an eye open. You'll notice it too. It's usually to the right. So he went in and he was like, oh crap, you know, dawned on him. And he would come out the same entrance or the same way he went in. Two times. One dude walked in and then walked out on the opposite side. So that dude probably perused like 40 stalls, and with women like yelling, and you can hear echoes of cries for help in different languages, you know, because you're in an international airport. But that's our favorite.
And as soon as he walked out, your wife said, come on, David, don't go through again. This is not funny.
Yes, it's not right, honey. Take my hand. This yes. Oh, my gosh.
This was cute when we were dating, but now it's just sex.
Not anymore. We're grown up now. That's hilarious. Good job.
We got one called Never Really Made It. It's from Fred. Recently, I went to the men's room at a Walmart. I forget which city. He drives for a living. So I had finished my business at the urinal and walked over to the sink. I was finishing buckling my belt as I stepped up to this sink. But the sink was one of those that was kind of a trough. One of those that has two faucets and drains down, you know, everything drains down the same drain. An elderly man comes rushing in and up to the sink. He looks at me as I'm putting on my belt and says, that was close. Almost didn't make it. With me messing with my belt, he thought he was going down. This was going down stadium style. So he undid his pants and proceeded to go full on in the sink.
Right in front of the mirrors.
Well, this is a weird. Oh my God, I just got it. Oh my God.
He thought it was a trough, man. You've seen those.
Full stadium style.
Yeah.
I almost didn't make it.
The stadiums usually have them. At least the one in Kansas City did.
Oh, yeah. Those are the worst. Oh,
that's hilarious.
It's a big old metal, you know, wide
like
thing.
A big sink.
Yes.
Yeah. So this dude thought.
He almost didn't make it.
Well, he thought Fred was finishing up, you know? And it was just the perfect thing. So there's definitely a case of something where it don't belong. So.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Which one is it? Is it the guy at the sink peeing, or is it the trough style sink in the bathroom?
I would
bathroom?
Say yes. The answer is yes. All of the above.
That's intellectual humor, just in case you all.
Oh, no, it's not.
It's totally juvenile.
Moving up, aren't we?
We're
getting smart.
We got a story called My New Brake Pads. John, why don't you read it for us?
I'll do that. I remember one summer I was learning to ride my bike without training wheels. Though everything was going well, my dad was proud. Yeah, I decided I was confident enough to ride down my street as fast as I could when I realized fast was just too fast. I panicked and wanted to brake fast, but without checking or thinking twice, I decided to drag both of my feet on the road to slow myself down and then stop.
Yeah, we do that. Oh, God.
Yeah, I used to do that with my shoes on all the time.
Yeah.
Needless to say, this was summertime, folks, and we don't wear shoes a whole lot during the summer back then. I'll let you use your imagination as to what happened to my bare feet.
Yes.
Nope, I won't. I scraped a nice layer off the top of both feet and toenails nails, too. Hold on a second. Now, foot injuries are the worst.
Yeah.
You still have to walk on those guys. She says, I'm 31, married, mother of two beautiful children. I couldn't be more happier with the better judgment I have nowadays. Hope you like the story. I have more than plenty to share. Thank you so much. We look forward to that. Love your podcast too, guys. Keep it up. Please include John in all further podcasts and don't.
That's not in there. That's not on there.
Okay. He's a liar. Vote him off.
This comes to us from Delania Morgan from Ukiah.
Where? IKEA.
Ukiah? Ukiah. Ukiah.
Oh.
I don't. UKIAH. Delania.
Oh. Yeah. Ukraine.
I guess so.
No.
Is there an R in there?
John, I think it's somewhere in California, right?
It's in California, yeah. I had to Google that because I was like, what's that? We have a listener in Ukiah? Where is that? Where's Ukiah? It's Northern California.
Dumb old California.
God, that's the good part of California.
Such
I
a
think,
letdown
right?
that we have listeners in California. I want listeners from overseas who don't understand anything we're doing.
Or saying.
Yeah.
They're thinking, oh, we never wear shoes when we break on the road.
I have to admit something with this one. I like this story, but she ended it originally with, I'll leave it to your imagination what happened to my bare feet. And I wrote her back and said, no, you need to tell me what happened to your dang feet. Oh. And so she did. She wrote back. And she said, I scraped a nice layer off both feet. Oh, toenails, God. Too.
Toenails, too.
Ah!
It gets worse the more you hear it. My mouth is watering. Oh.
So thank you, Delana, for humoring me and all that. Sometimes I will ask follow-up questions on stuff. And if I don't get an answer, I don't. It usually doesn't make it on the show because I need that. I had one recently that was great. It was about a movie. And I said, what movie was it? And they didn't respond. So I'm like, well, it's kind of pointless if I don't know the movie. So,
hey, listener, we want to know. We want the story.
Yeah.
We got to know the movie, too.
Yeah. So if I email you back, that means I was thinking about you. So
it's like that bait in the water and you going after it. But you want to know if that's real fish or not. So,
Oh, I gotcha. I heard date in the water going after it.
Yeah. And I didn't know.
I got confused. But now I know you said bait. So that makes a lot more sense. But my wife did this when she was a kid. She was riding a bike with flip-flops and her foot, she was standing up. Her foot slipped off the pedal, just the right foot. And it got trapped upside down behind the pedal. And and between the asphalt, and she just kind of stopped that way. And it took off, like she said, a layer of skin. And to this day, her big toe grows in, and it looks like a Lay's, rippled Lay's ridged potato chip a little bit.
Her toenail?
That's why she walks with a limp.
No, she does not walk with a limp. That's the peg leg. And you shouldn't make fun of people with one leg. No,
James took my joke and made it so much better. How did I lose these? I was like, Dad, come it. 0-2.
I'm going to vote David off the show. He's redundant. He's it's just like having two of me. We already have one. No.
I know. Come on. Oh.
I can't tell you guys apart, seriously.
But her toenail, she ripped it all the way down to the nail bed, you know, where the growth plate is and textured that. It's a constant reminder. She was like 6 years old. So, yeah, that's a big deal. It's a big deal. This one is a voicemail. It comes to us from a fellow named Steve. He is also in the chat. So he'll mention that. It's called Pepper Sprayed. Here we go.
Hey, David, James, and John. This
See if
is
you
Jake,
can find the theme.
Steve Atroni is 37 in the Discord server. And I just wanted to share a little story with you guys. When I was about 6 or 7 years old, my mom used to collect these little figurines based around pigs. That was just her thing when she was growing up. And she had this one, and I didn't know really what it was. It was just pig-themed, but I was trying to figure out what it was supposed to do, if it was supposed to make any noise or anything like that. So I started messing with this thing, and there was like a little rubber thing on the bottom of it. And I thought that was weird, so I started picking at it, and I hold it over my head so I can get like, oh, can I see it? Because I'm an idiot. I didn't think to turn it over and pull it out. But I pull out this rubber thing, and it gives way. And turns out the thing that I was holding was a pepper shaker. So I am looking up at the opening of a pepper shaker that is now pouring pepper into my eye.
Oh.
Needless to say, it hurt a lot. I basically pepper sprayed myself at 6 or 7 years old. And I got some wet paper towels, cleaned my eyes out. Made sure not to do that again. So, moral of the story, don't pepper spray yourself. Thanks for the show, guys. Bye.
All right. So you might think you have the theme. The theme being don't have your eye underneath pepper. That's the theme that something is where it doesn't belong. No, the theme is pull your truck over and turn it off before you call my show.
Oh, he was on the road?
It sounded like it. That's dangerous, Steve.
That's right. It's it's illegal in Georgia, maybe.
Yeah.
Well, no, if you got your earbuds in, it's okay. You can do that.
Yeah. It was a great quality recording, and it was an awesome story. Yeah. It's hilarious, but I'm hearing in the background.
I felt like I was with him.
Yeah. It's amazing what the internet can do these days. Make you feel like you're right there. All right, this is my favorite, my new favorite story of all time. I saved it for last. So here we go.
Best for last.
It's called The Absent Sibling. Hey, John, James, and David, and fellow listeners, I have a story for you. Yes, he does. This is from Trevor from California. My family and I were super excited that my sister was graduating. We rarely all come to one event together, so this was a special occasion. However, just before the ceremony, I had a meeting with my mentor at the church I had been attending. It was a great meeting. Then I noticed the clock. Crap. I had to book it to get to the ceremony on time. Well, I finally made it there and just in time. My mom and dad were there along with my soon-to-be graduated sister. The only person who wasn't there was my sister, Sarah. Soon music played and the ceremony began. Just as it started, I got a call from Sarah, the sister that wasn't there. I was a little angry and embarrassed. Angry because I thought she knew our sister, Heather, was graduating and she wasn't there. And I was embarrassed because I got the call just as it got quiet as we were standing for the Pledge of Allegiance. Isn't that how it always is? I quickly dismissed the call and shut off my phone. My emotions turned to happiness as my sister walked and received her many academic awards. I remember being really proud of her. After the ceremony, I spent some time with the family, all except for the sister that never showed. That's when I turned on my phone. Several missed calls, one voicemail. It was Sarah. She says, "So I guess you forgot, but you left me at church." I felt my stomach slowly sink into itself, and I shrank.
Yes.
I had totally forgotten that she went with me to the church and that she was kindly waiting for me to finish my meeting before we went to the graduation ceremony. But I had totally forgotten her and left her behind.
That's awesome.
I felt like the biggest idiot, and Sarah was rightly mad at me. James, please insert the moral of the story here. And then he leaves a blank. Thanks for reading this on the show, Trevor from California. Oh, I don't know what the moral is, but the theme is things are where they don't belong.
Yes, go get Sarah.
Sarah was not where she should have been.
No, and it was your fault, Trevor.
Oh, he was so mad at her. So all ticked. This, like, tension and...
How dare she not be at this graduation?
I mean, that reminds me in a weird way of the Gift of the Magi story, you know?
Yeah.
Where he sells his watch to buy her hair clips, and she sells her hair to buy him a fob for his watch, and here he is all being mad at her, and he's the reason she's there, and she wants to be there, but he's mad at her for not. It's all messed up.
And in the end, they're happy again, right?
I don't know.
It's got to end.
It just said that they're mad. I guess if you want to, we can do this.
Oh, yes.
We can retell the end of the story if we want. Well, I woke up from a sound sleep. It had all been a dream. And that's been your retelling of this story.
It was an easy way to do it.
And then a dragon came. So
so then I woke up. I went back to sleep. Woke up.
That's good. That's good. That's well done.
Well, that is it for us. This episode has been a lot of fun, guys. Went by quick. I appreciate you guys being here. And I appreciate every single one of our awesome listeners. Like I said before, I don't say it enough. We don't have the best podcast in the world by far, but we have the best listeners in the world easily.
True.
Send your stories, email, or audio to thatstoryshow@gmail.com. Thatstoryshow.com is the website. Follow us on Twitter @thatstoryshow. Review us on iTunes if that's how you found us. And if you want more great shows, visit us at nlcast.com. Thanks to our patrons for your support. With special thanks to our producers, Jennifer Kennison, Carrie Wright, Philip Ludens, Zane Estrada, and James Spangler. Become a patron today at patreon.com/nlcast. Just $1 an episode. You know, you can even do $1 a month if you limit it to just one time. You're in full control. It's a great thing. Go check it out. See if you want to help us out. And remember, when something weird, annoying, embarrassing, gross, or painful happens to you, or if some dude just comes up and starts peeing in your sink, Don't get stressed. If your knife falls in the toilet, don't get depressed. Just don't think, this belongs on That Story Show. We'll see you guys next week. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you, David, for not cutting in and out the whole episode. Appreciate it.
Anytime, man. It's been a joy.
One long good show. What was that?
I have to pee. It's true. It was juvenile.
Made me laugh. True.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.